trials, Lord, we know that you are there with us, and we thank you for that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. So Kim is going to share the word with us this morning.
Well, good morning, everyone. Praise God. Well, I'm excited as always, and I say it every time I come up here that it's an absolute privilege and humbling honor to share the word with you and be here with you this morning. I will start by saying that, where's Joe? Did he leave? He's outside? Oh, okay. Well, we had our pre-service prayer in the office, and he walked in and he said, when we started praying, he said, the minute I walked in this morning, God spoke to me, John 15:1, that, and I want to share it right now, that, you know, I'm the vine and you're the branches, and to abide in him, and that apart from him we can do nothing. And I said, well, that's awesome, because that's today's message. So God is awesome, and he is doing something today. How many know he's always doing something? He's living and active. He's alive. We have a living God who's always at work in your life, but in our lives as a body, as a corporate body. Do you guys believe that? And what Joe also said, and I sense from the Lord very much, he said, and this isn't just a word for individuals. He said, this is a word for the house. And God told me that. And actually, Pastor Mac knows that. So we didn't know the events would unfold that unfolded. A couple weeks ago, God gave me another whole message, which I love and would love to be doing. But when we were preparing for Pastor Mac's vacation time, we figured out the weeks, and I said, yeah, sure, absolutely. And mine was just today. And I very much sensed God giving a totally different message, completely. Completely, and that was the message that we're going to have today. And I sensed that as well, and I stayed with him on that because I wanted to be sure. And he continued to lead in this direction, and the first thing he spoke to me almost immediately was bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. And so that is what we are going to be talking about today. And as I sat with him and I said, well, God, that message is so powerful. You know, it's really, we'll save that for another time. But he said, Kim, all of the word is profitable. And we know that. We know the all of the word. And that's that awesome word, all. Who likes the word all? It's so easy. What does it mean? All of it. Yeah, so actually is found, I'm just going to read it before we jump into our actual message, is in 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Say all. It's fun. And is profitable. Say profitable. Is that a good word? Does that sound like a positive word? That's a good thing. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and here's the more good news, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Still good news, right? It's good. And we know that all of the word is Jesus, right? Jesus is the word made flesh. All of it, all of him. We don't want to leave any of him out, any of his revelation, any of who he is. We want all of who he is and to walk with the fullness of our Savior. But we are going to go to Matthew 13, and this is the parable of the sower. And the parable of the sower is sometimes called the parable of the soils, and it's found in all of the three Gospels. You can find it also in Mark 4 and Luke 8, similar passages. But we're going to start reading there in Matthew 13. Verse 1. What's that? Matthew 13. Oh, it's okay. She wrote, my handwriting is horrific, so I gave Mandy the scripture. It does. I know. It's gibberish. My husband knows. It's Matthew 13. That's all me. Sorry. I woke up today and I've learned to say with God, you know, it is what it is. He's coming. And he said, well, I'll tell you what he said later. Anyway, so Matthew 13, it says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together with him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So, you know, when we think of the parables, it feels like you're around a campfire, doesn't it? And he is. He has this closed circuit that he's talking to, but there's a multitude that's following Christ and listening to his words. It says, then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But verse 8 says, but others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And then it says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And I'm just going to pray right now. I know we prayed for the service, but Lord, we just pray, Father, we just thank you, Holy Spirit. We do pray that you have your way, that you speak, that you open our eyes and our heart to receive all that you're doing today. Father, that truly you turn up the soil and make it good soil, fertile, Father, fertile for every good work, in Jesus' name. And, you know, as I came yesterday and I heard that someone else lost a close loved one, and I learned also that Pastor Mac lost his mom, and it began making sense what God was speaking to me for this message as he started to unfold it. And, you know, I just want to say, you know, all of our lives, how I believe that every single life, every life has purpose and value, is precious to God, is ordained by him, right? Every life, do you believe that every life bears fruit? Every life bears fruit. And we want to bear fruit for the kingdom of heaven. Every life bears fruit. And I think, I know for me, and this is a driving force of my life, and probably for you, I think something the Holy Spirit does in us when we're saved, you know, my greatest cry, I think apart from loving people, apart from the care that we give to others and those that God has around us, which is part of an extension of him also, there is no greater desire. There's nothing more precious or valuable or important than fulfilling what God intends for your life. Is that right? And we could do a lot of things. You could do a lot of good things. You could do a lot of stuff, and it's not bad. But if my cry in my heart to the Lord every day is, God, I can't, you know, we can't always see it. Things don't always make sense. But God, whatever it is that you've intended from before the foundations of the earth, from before I was in my mother's womb, and I'm speaking as you would speak for yourself, that be fulfilled. Right? And it's worth it. And it's worth whatever cost, because at the end of the day, and I was thinking about, you know, when someone passes from this life to the next, we're eternal beings, right? And we'll all stand before him. we all have an eternal place. And is there nothing more valuable? You know, we see people who, yes, they go through some tough times. They may suffer. We could go through a whole list. But we have an eternal life. And to stand before God, having him accomplish through us all that he intended. And, you know, I think part of that should cause us to take comfort. I was thinking about it yesterday because I was very sad to hear someone else lost their brother. And, you know, it was very sad. It's sad no matter what. We grieve on this side, but we have eternal life. But to know and take comfort that God knows the beginning from the end, right? And as I said when we were opening or doing our announcement, you know, if we have breath, If we have a heartbeat, if we're alive, we're still in God's purpose and will and plan. And he knows that time, so we can take comfort when that time comes, that he does take us to himself, or we pass to the next life, that is our time. So it's in God's sovereignty. But anyway, I just want to, as we move along, I think, again, and I think God wants to maybe stir that up in us, stir up a fervency, stir up a vision to say, God, this is what matters. This is what matters. And within that purpose that we have, of course, inherent, is all the lives that he wants to impact, the testimony that he's created in you for others. I mean, I love the testimonies of God, but I was sitting, you know, as this morning, you know, I wasn't feeling good either. I'm feeling weak and feeling like, look, yeah, I shouldn't be doing this, God. You know, and then, you know, you get like, who am I? I'm not worthy. He said, you know, your testimony is my testimony. Your story is my story. You are my testimony, right? It's always the fruit that God bears in us is always through the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that correct? It's correct. So, the thought that I'm trying to put together is that, so we want the fullness of all that he's done in our life. He has a purpose. How many believe that? He has a purpose. He works all things for good. He has a purpose. He has an eternal plan, an eternal perspective. And every testimony that's born in your life, whether you might not feel like it's a testimony at the time, sometimes we don't realize the impact of our life, even when we're going through a tough time, or what a powerful testimony that is to someone else. And that's what he was just running many, many things by me sitting here. He said, you get up there. He said, because there are many people that were in your condition when I got a hold of you, Kim, that need to see you standing there. They need to hear the words, not just me, everybody, but you hear what I'm saying. He said, your story is my story. So we want to, of course, I know everybody's heart, I believe, and I think God might breathe upon our desire again afresh to be good ground, to bear 100-fold. When you see that scripture, do you say, well, all right, well, you know, 30. But you see, he says some bear 100-fold, and some 60, and some 30, right? Does that stir you to say, Lord, let it be 100-fold. Let it be 100-fold for your glory, for your purposes. So we're going to go down, and we're going to read the parable of the sower explained, and poor Mandy, you got it? This is now verse 18. I type for a living, and I have for many, many decades, many years, a few decades, and so my handwriting is horrific now. Okay, so verse 18 says, therefore the parable of the sower says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So I just want to start kind of going down the list. It says, so he who bears fruit receives the seed onto good ground. He has to hear it and understand it. Just going to move along a little bit. We'll go back to that. But I just want to talk a little bit more about fruit. You know, fruit is a topic that we see in the very first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1, 11 through 12 says, "And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kind, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." In Genesis 1:29 says, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, and you shall have them for food." So bearing fruit is an important topic and intended by God in everything that is life. Everything that is alive has within it the capacity to reproduce. It carries seed. As believers, we carry the Spirit of God and his reproduction and his fruitfulness and his power to bear fruit in us. So this is most certainly true for the life of the believer, that bearing fruit is an important thing. And it is the will of God. We don't have to question, well, God, do you want to bear fruit in my life? Maybe I should, you know, hang out in the back. There's a scripture that says, don't put your light under a basket, right? It is God's will. Bearing fruit is God's will. And when we understand that it's bearing fruit of his kingdom, that your life can continue to bear fruit and bear fruit and bear fruit and bear fruit and bear fruit that others will eat of. Colossians 1:10 says, John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." John 15:8 says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Fruit in our lives is the evidence of the workings of God in us. Isn't that awesome? "That you prove to be my disciples." Do you think folks in this world need to see some fruit of the kingdom of God? Colossians 1:10 says, "So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." So just jumping back to, you know, that we need an understanding. It says that the seed that didn't grow, right, they lacked understanding. They lacked knowledge. So while the fruit, the bearing, the reproduction, the fruit, the life of the fruit is produced by God, that we have a role to play. We have a responsibility in allowing that fruit to be born in us. It says increasing in the knowledge of God. Right? And of course, you know, as a lot, everything that was said today, everyone who came up, and Rich was talking about trusting God, and I have that further in my notes. You know, that's fruit is born there. When I come up something that I, or all of us as believers, right? Like, whoa, I know that. I don't know. I don't know, God. But your word says this. Your word says this. Your word says this. And so I am going to trust your word in any situation it is, right? Fruit is born. The life of God is born there in us and is evident, and we prove to be his disciples. So I just want to repeat. So fruit born in the life of the believer is born from the work of the Holy Spirit. I was thinking yesterday, you know, people procreate, right? They make babies, right? And that's a production of life. But the life itself of that baby is from where? No one produces life but God, right? Nothing is alive apart from him, right? All life is sacred and to be cherished. It's from him. You can make all kinds of stuff. I guarantee you can't make the life in it. Life is from God. So we're going to talk a little bit about how do we bear fruit. And God tells us in his word. And as Joe said, we're going to go to John 15:1. that we must abide in him. So we're going to just read that, John 15, 1 through 27. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it might bear more fruit. Pruning's a little prickly. I mean, you do some pruning. I know Pastor Mac knows about pruning, just gardening and stuff. But when we prune a plant, how many have pruned plants? What happens immediately? What happens? What happens within very short time? I just pruned my plant at home the other day. It had some icky yellow leaves on. I took them off. Boom, it perked right up. It was green. It starts to grow new leaves, beautiful. When you pick fruit, what happens when you pick the fruit? It allows that tree to grow more, right? If we don't pick that fruit off, it's going to rot on that vine, isn't it? So just reading on a little bit more, it says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And again, everybody who came up here is just, God is just saying his message over and over. Mandy was sharing a testimony about being in his presence and what God, how God was leading there. And so how do we abide? And that was the one of the top things I said, being in his presence. But being in his presence is not just being in his presence, not just, oh, which I love. I could do that for a long time. But it's not just about being in his presence, about being in his presence and walking with him, allowing his pruning, being yielded to him, abiding in all, as we said, that he is, trusting him, trusting his word, trusting his faithfulness, being doers of the word, followers of Christ. Are we abiding then? It's not just when we're soaking with the Riveras on, which, again, it's awesome, and we need that. And you know what? When we're in his presence, though, soaking like that or just spending time with him, things happen, doesn't it? Because he's the Spirit of truth. We do need that. We do need to abide in his presence. We get transformed there. We get filled with his life and his power. We get his vision. We get his direction. We get filled with him. But there's more to abiding than just that, is my point. That abiding in him is every day, all the time, in our walk. You know, when God quickens you, like, Kim, nope. That's not my way. That we choose to abide and say, you're right, Lord. You're right. Forgive me, and I'm going to walk in your way. Even though if I don't quite understand it right now, or, hey, you know, I'd like you to go give blah, blah, blah to this person, and you got X amount of bills on your table. If that was the Lord, abiding in him is doing that thing and trusting him, right? We could go through many, 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 many examples of what abiding is. I'm going to read Psalm 1, 1 through 6. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, that yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Right? It's good. It's good. And we have to train ourselves to abide in him, train ourselves to trust in him, train ourselves to not lean on our own understanding and to walk with him. This is part of abiding. I'm just going to read Matthew 12, 33 says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. And a good tree, right, can't bear bad fruit. If you're in that place, you're not going to bear bad fruit that others will see and eat and benefit of, and the kingdom of heaven has grown and expanded. You're not going to bear bad fruit as a good tree. We're not going to bear, if we're saying, no, Lord, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to walk in the ways of the world. I'm going to bear fruit that looks like the world, right? And it's not going to have the anointing of God. In fact, it will have the opposite effect on people. It will destroy a testimony. So God says, either make your tree good or bad. And he's not talking about perfection. He's not putting some kind of, you know, perfection thing on us. Do you know what a disciple looks like? It's not someone who gets it right all the time. God could say, go look at my house this morning and say, Kim, really? Get me out of this house. Do you know what I mean? We don't get it right all the time, but a disciple is one who says, Lord, you know, that we get in his presence. We ask for forgiveness. We ask for help. We trust him. We're willing to walk in his way, right? So not trying to put a perfection thing on people, but this is important. And I have a note here to talk about, well, have you seen seed that was ever sown by the wayside? Have you guys seen farmers when they just shoot the, you know, they till up the soil, they make a beautiful garden with the lines and everything, and then they're, or whatever, how they do it, I'm not a master gardener. And they throw the seed, right? You can see, and you'll see seed that will land in the good ground. It lands right in there where it's been tilled and toiled, and then you know that's going to grow. The water's going to get in there and stay and all that stuff. And the seed on the wayside, you've seen it, right? We've done it. It's hard ground, right? It's hard. It kind of blows away. The birds come. They eat it. It's snatched away quickly. It doesn't take root. It can't. It can't penetrate. It's plucked up, like I said, and eaten by birds or bugs or just blows away. So that seed doesn't bear fruit. Right? That seed thrown by the wayside. So again, we just need to allow the rooting and the tilling of the word and the work of God in our lives. Seeking out understanding. If we don't understand something, seeking out that. It said they lacked understanding or knowledge. Well, you know what? It's a good thing to seek out knowledge and understanding. We don't have to pretend like we know it all. I'm still seeking. I can't study enough. Do you know what I mean? You want to, you have pastors, we have other Christians that we can look to and seek out understanding, seek God, ask him, and yield to the work of God in our lives. So knowing the word and receiving it again and allowing it to take root is where we will bear fruit. And so what would stony places look like in our lives or in our hearts? Y'all probably just getting a quick image like I do. What does it look like? Probably exactly like what you think right now, exactly like it sounds, and exactly like the parable says. It says, he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. So it gets sprinkled in there, there's rocks, and it goes down, and yay. But it can't, yet because there's no root, it says in himself, that endures only for a while. So that stony place, that plant or the fruit can't take real root. And so it might spring up a little. You ever see little sprouts? They spring up, and then that's it. It only endures for a little while. So, again, just allowing God to do that work. And I think a great prayer. When I heard that many years ago, that hundredfold, 60-fold, I said, whoa. Well, we're going to go for the hundredfold, God. I don't, you know. Let's sign up for that. Well, and allow God to do that work. And understanding, because that's what we want. We want our lives to bear as the fruit of the kingdom that God intends. We want our church body to bear the fruit of the kingdom that God intends. And bear with me. There are several types of fruit. There's the fruit of the Spirit in our hearts and our walk, right? Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And Matthew 3:8 speaks of bearing fruit that is in keeping with repentance, that demonstrates that. So there's the fruit in our hearts, there's the fruit of the Spirit in us. And again, as we've been talking about, there's the fruit of our lives. Is the fruit of our lives. Isn't it wonderful when you have testimonies? When you have testimonies to share out of your mouth, but I think sometimes we don't realize what a testimony we are because we're used to what it's, I was just talking to someone, I won't mention any names, and I'm pointing at him right now, what a testimony. Again, you know, we can start to feel that we're not good enough, or we don't have something to share anymore, or we're over the hill, whatever. But God created that testimony in you. And he says, that is my story. That is my testimony. You are my testimony. And how many people on this earth today need to see and hear that testimony? And you may not always be preaching out of a pulpit, or might not always be preaching at work, or but your life is a testimony. We're living epistles to be read by men. And that's his. It's his. His transforming work in your life is his testimony. And he intends to shine it to others. Sorry. I think I write too many notes, but I do this so I can see. And I get lost in them. And I want to point out, too, you know, the fruit of God that's born in our lives, how many know it's larger than life? Have you, right? We all know that. Do you sit there and go, whoa? The fruit that God produces, like, we could do a good thing and it's good, and it's good. Those aren't, good things are good things. But when the fruit that's born in our life by God, it's so much bigger than us, isn't it? And full of his life, and full of his anointing, and exceedingly abundantly beyond anything you could think or ask or imagine, right? And don't judge. Man doesn't see as God sees. I mean, God doesn't see as man sees, right? Don't think because I'm not on TV, or I'm not this, or I'm not, you know. God, his work in your life is magnified. It's from the kingdom of heaven. It's anointed. It's larger than you could ever construe or think of or imagine, and its impact is eternal. It's eternal. Isn't that awesome? Let's selah on that, because the fruit that's born in your life has eternal impacts here in this natural realm. Do you believe that? Beyond your life. How many here have relatives or whatever that are still impacting your life, that have gone home to be with the Lord? How many? How many testimonies? I could say over and over and over, and I'm going to say some later, but to understand the value of the fruit of our life, the fruit of this house is going to go on beyond us, correct? It's going to continue to preach the gospel and continue to bring men and women to Christ beyond your lifetime. Is that important? Is that of value to God? Do you think he's going to smile when we get before him? And to know the importance of bearing fruit, the importance of bearing fruit, the power of it. And again, it doesn't matter if you're some famous person, or God does not see as men sees. He said there will be many surprises in that day. Am I quoting the Bible? There will be many surprises in that day. The value, the power, the importance of the fruit that God bears of the kingdom of heaven in our life. It's larger than us. I'm going to read the parable quickly of the mustard seed, another parable that Jesus spoke to them. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, tiny, 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 that a man took and sowed in the field, which is indeed the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. If you can hear it, you'll hear what God is just saying. Talks about our faith, yes, but hear it in what we were just saying. That little seed comes much larger than anything you could imagine, and the birds of the air come and rest on it. Every story in life in the Bible is still bearing fruit. How many years? How much fruit? Can you comprehend it? No. Remember the story? I was just thinking of the grapes from Canaan, as the spies, Moses sent the spies out to spy out the promised land, right? And Joshua and Caleb, and they returned carrying a cluster of grapes so large that the two men had to carry it between them on a staff. This is the fruit that the kingdom of heaven bears, larger than life, bigger, something you can't create, just like you can't create life itself. The fruit of the kingdom of God is created by the Holy Spirit. And it begins with the seed that's put in good soil. And I just, you know, I have a lot of things you can liken with fruit, but growth of fruit in the natural in our lives is a process, right? It's a process. You know, and I think part of the beauty of staying humble and staying contrite with God is knowing it's a process. It's a process. I think God loves the process. When you're raising a baby, you don't, you know, you're not angry at the baby for not sitting at the table with a fork and knife. You delight in the process of them growing. You delight in the process of them beginning to walk, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, seed grows into a plant. It grows into a stalk. That stalk grows. It buds. And then that bud becomes fruit. It's a process. And fruit of God in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit that we talked about, it's evident, right? It's evident. We all have our times that we need to get before God. We all go through stuff. But the fruit of the Spirit, when we're saved, we have the Spirit of God in us, and the Spirit himself bears fruit to himself. He's evident. He's evident. When the Holy Spirit takes residence in us, there's an evidence of that. It can be seen. It's tangible. It can be eaten by others. It's most often is sweet. And, you know, just have a little note here. Have anybody picked grapes from a wild vine? You're out walking and you see those grapes. They're bitter, bitter. They look good, but they don't taste too good. Usually the ones, I don't know, not usually. So there's a good analogy there of not when we don't allow the pruning of God, that the fruit that we produce, you'll still produce it. There's still grapes there, but they're not, when we bite into them, they're not tasty, right? So we want to allow the pruning of God. And fruit is nourishing to those who eat it. You know, it's a real delight. And I think as a believer, our whole mindset is transformed, isn't it? It is, you know, and I have to catch myself. I work in a professional realm. I have to do all this stuff. I mean, I have to, you know, but I always, the foundation of my life is to live before God and that I bear fruit for him. You know, that others are able to eat of the fruit of our lives wherever we are. You know, when others, I'm sure everybody here has experienced this, and I think it's a good prayer for all of us to pray, to see fruit born in other people. Isn't it wonderful? I have a couple young ladies, they call me this, so they're just delightful. It's such a joy because they're hungry to gain understanding. Like we were talking about their first line, they're hungry. I'm hungry. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to, you know, whatever, what can you feed me? Whatever you can. And we get together and just talk. And they're doing that on their own. It's not all coming from. What a delight to see and to be able to, you know, set a table, if you will, of the fruit of your life. Isn't that wonderful? Everything you've been through, everything you are, you have a fruit. If you've walked with God through that, you have a fruit that others can eat. And what a delight. But there's two parts of that. I just wanted to point out, you know, their hunger. They are hungry. And they bear fruit. And I get to watch them bear fruit. And it's just a joy beyond measure to see the fruit born in their lives and to know that's going to continue to bear fruit. Their fruit is going to bear fruit. And, you know, an interesting thing about fruit is also that, you know, fruit, as we said, carries seed. You cut open an apple, what's inside? The seed there. Fruit is designed to bear additional fruit. It has the capacity within itself to bear fruit. So again, the fruit in your life is not just temporal, it's not just here. And if we can get a hold of that, to understand the value and to see our lives maybe completely differently. And to maybe seek God in that way. A little more fervently, to yield to him afresh, perhaps. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as we close, but